Morning, everybody. I'm taking a break from Mukta this week because I'd like to deal with a different opinion that comes up not very explicitly in Hilchos Shabbos. It comes from different places. But this Friday is going to be the 10th of Teves, and that's the day that we have a fast. And it's a very rare occurrence that we have a fast on a Friday. In fact, none of the fasts that we have can fall on a Friday, with the exception of Asara B'Teves. And this year, Kanis Esther falls on Shabbos, but not on Friday. And we're going to actually bring it earlier, not on Shabbos. We're going to make it earlier. We're going to make it on Thursday instead of Friday, because we have a choice. We don't do it on Friday. We have the same thing when people do Yom Kippur Cotton. If Rosh Chodesh is on a Shabbos or a Sunday, then they don't do Yom Kippur Cotton on Friday, they do it on Thursday. Once you're pushing it off, you push it to a Thursday, not to a Friday. Also, generally speaking, when you have a fast that falls on Shabbos, we say, Ma'achim v'lo magdimin, rather we push it off rather than bring it earlier, because when it comes to Corona, so when it comes to more negative events, we'd rather push them off rather than bring them earlier. But Tanis Esther is a problem. Pushing before Tanis Esther means you're going to have Tanis Esther on Purim, so they would bring it up. But otherwise, when Tisha B'Av or Shavuos of the Tammuz falls on Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. Sara B'Teves, so here it's falling on a Friday, so we're not going to make it earlier. We're going to make it on Friday because that's the day it fell out. If you're making it earlier, so then don't make it on Friday, make it Thursday. But here it falls on Friday, so we have to deal with it on Friday. What is Asara B'Teves? Asara B'Teves, Shabur brings us Yochas Tanis. His lashon is Asara B'Teves. Shibois Somach Melech Bavel Nebuchadnezzar Harosha Al Yerushalayim VeHebir B'Motzer B'Motzer. Nebuchadnezzar, the Rosha, he came close. He surrounded Yerushalayim and put a siege on it. Umizen Nimshach HaChorban, and from there was the beginning of the downfall, the beginning of the end. And from that led to eventually the breaching of the walls and the destruction, the ultimate destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, this is the beginning of the Puranos. There's a, I don't know if it's a saying or a Maimon Chazal, or I don't know, I'm not sure where it comes from, but it's written in Svarim, I can't remember where I saw it, that Asara B'Teves is so chabur that were it to fall on Shabbos, it would not be Darkei Shabbos. Now, I don't think halacha l'maisa that's what they meant, because we know the only time we're going to fast on Shabbos and Kippur, and we're not going to have any other fast happening. But what does it mean that Asara B'Teves is a chomer that were to fall on Shabbos, we would not be able to push it off? So I saw an interesting word in the name of the Chasam Sofer, and he says that we say that someone who was not sufficiently misavel, did not sufficiently mourn the Beis Hamikdash, and it was not rebuilt in his day, it's as if it was destroyed again in his day. We always talk about this, Tisha B'Av time, the importance of actually feeling the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, that hopefully it should be built speedily in our days, and if it isn't, then it's as if that we've been through another Korban. So he says that when do you get to that stage that you've been through a year and the Beis Hamikdash hasn't been destroyed, I mean hasn't been built? So that starts at Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves is the beginning of the process of the destruction. That's as we say, the siege, which led to the breach of the walls of the city, which later led to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. This is when Asara B'Teves comes, starts the count of the new year. And if by the next Asara B'Teves, the Beis Hamikdash hasn't been built, then we've been through a whole year of this mourning of feeling the destruction, and it hasn't happened at that point. We consider it as, oh, you've lived through a year and it wasn't rebuilt. Now another year has passed. The Kiddush HaKurban starts again. So the timeline starts with Asara B'Teves, and that's why he says Asara B'Teves. He wants to explain why it's considered as such a serious event, even though we know that on the way we treat it halachically, Tisha B'Av and Kippur are obviously much more common. Now, in Hilchos Tanis, it also discusses the rules and regulations of these fasts, and we say that the Arba Tzomos, three out of the Arba Tzomos, the Navi refers to Arba Tzomos, the Navi refers to four different fasts, the different months that they fall in, it's referring to Shavuos of the Tammuz, so Tisha B'Av, Tzav Gedaliah, and Asara B'Teves. Hanes Esther is not one of those mentioned in the Navi. So that's why it's a little more cooler, Dekha Fas. It's mentioned in the Megillah, which is Ksuvim, it's not Navi, it's already slightly lower level. And nevertheless, these three Fas, meaning the four minus Tisha B'Av, essentially depends on how Chazal feel what type of period we're going through. If we're going through a time of upheaval and persecution, then we should be keeping the fast, and if not, then we don't need to keep the fast. And if we're going to be keeping the fast, the way to do it is to keep it Tisha B'Av, because it's a 24-hour fast. The Maisa, we've come to some sort of compromise and hold that even when times are more peaceful, essentially we're going to keep the fast, but yet the way we keep them is only as a daytime fast and not a 24-hour like Tisha B'Av. That is halacha l'maisa, how we're going to keep it. Nevertheless, and also one other thing is that Tisha B'Av we know is also the Chamisha Inuyim. There are the five pleasures that one has to avoid during Tisha B'Av, like we know from Yom Kippur, whereas when it comes to the other fasts, it's only Achila V'Shtiya. Five Inuyim are eating and drinking, wearing shoes, marital relations, and Sicha, anointing or oiling or cleaning oneself in or something like that. And washing is also prohibited. Those are the five things that are prohibited in Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. Yom Kippur obviously the Raisa. But those are the five things that we associate together with eight times. So the way we've accepted these Tanaisim today is not to take all five, but only one, which is Achila V'Shtiya, the eating and drinking, is what we abstain from. But everything else essentially is mutter. The Mishnah Berurah brings Ubal Nefesh Yachmir V'Kulon K'moy V'Tisha B'Av. Someone who's a Baal Nefesh, he should be Machmir in all these fasts like Tisha B'Av, with exceptions. He gives two exceptions. He says marital relations, obviously, if it's a mikveh night, he says that's not a reason to abstain. And second of all, he says wearing shoes. One doesn't go without shoes on these days because it's kufat dula. You make fun of yourself. People see you. Oh, so you're so cool. You're on a side of the pavement. But other things which are in private, a bar nefesh should avoid them. Meaning you should avoid washing and things like and sicha on these other three fasts. Not only that, he brings in Shara Tzion, that if possible, one should avoid these things, meaning from the previous evening. Now, not that I'm coming to bring down Chumras, I'm just coming to clarify this, that what's brought down over here, and it reminds me of a story that I heard. I heard it from one of my previous chavrusas, I heard it from the boy who it happened to. There was a boy who went to a mashgiach, who went to Rabbi Dalia Eisen in Zatzal and Kulteira, and asked him about a certain hamhaga, but it says about Nefesh Yachmir, and wanted to know, how should he keep it? And his look at him was, you're about Nefesh? What makes you about Nefesh that you need to keep this? That wasn't because this bacha was considered as they say today, he's slightly off the derech. He was a serious yeshiva bacha, but he said the Baal Nefesh is a certain level that a person gets to. Learned Abba Chelka Shulchan Aruch, and you keep him all the tiktokim, now you take your Shmiras HaMitzvahs to a higher level. So Baal Nefesh seems to be that it's a someone who's already refined his Shmiras HaMitzvahs to a certain level. I'm not telling anybody whether they are or they aren't. Let everybody decide them for themselves. I'm just bringing the halacha that it's brought down as a Umrah that one should avoid all the inuyim of a regular fast, even during the day, and some even from the night before. With that in mind, for all those who are machmir, how do we deal with it on a Friday? So that is why I brought it up, not telling people to be machmir, but rather telling them, for those who are machmir, what about this coming Friday? So number one, since there's a mitzvah to wash oneself for Shabbos, also, the Prima Godin brings that even those who are machmir not to wash on a regular fast day, like Asarah B'Teves and Shivas B'Tamuz, etc., nevertheless, limited washing in cold water or washing just upon a yod of a ragla, pants, face, and feet is permitted, which we know that in the 9 days, we're even more machmir. So you see that even with all the chumras, of not washing, it's not as chomer as the 9 day. Therefore, even someone who's machmir on avoiding washing on a fast day, nevertheless, the mitzvah of washing for Shabbos overrides that, and there's no one who says that one should avoid washing because of Shabbos, but rather one should be mekayim the mitzvah of washing as usual, without taking any shortcuts, without having to go with cold water, without soap or anything like that. No need for any of those chumras on Erev Shabbos. That is point number one that I want to bring up, from the fact that Asar B'Teves falls on Friday. For men who go to mikveh before davening on a fast day, those who want to be machmir should choose to go to the cold mikveh and not go to the warm mikveh, because of this halacha on this particular, on this year, where Asar B'Teves falls on Friday, even that chumrah also is all brought down as necessary. And of course, a woman who has to prepare for the mikveh for Friday night can do all her preparations on Friday without qualms, even though she generally is machmir on rechitza. When it comes to a fast day, nevertheless, when it comes to preparing for the mikveh, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever. What I did see brought down is included in this restriction of washing on a fast day would include going swimming or going to the beach, which anyway is not the most appropriate activity for a fast day when it comes to finding things to do that are fun. I didn't see it written down mefurish, but I did see, but I would add from my own idea that if a person is going swimming for exercise and not for fun, true, it's an enjoyable form of exercise and people feel good afterwards, but if it's done for health reasons, since anyway you're going into cold water, anybody who's machmir and washing on a fast day, I wouldn't say they need to be machmir on canceling their swim day just because of it. This is not the day to go find entertainment, and therefore going to the beach or using this day as a full day, which you're not doing for exercise, should be avoided. But zicha, someone who's doing it for other reasons, I would say there's no hold back. Stamazoi, we're talking about the restrictions of a fast. But since we do see that there is an idea that one should take the fast like the severity of Tisha B'Av, etc., that even someone who's not a Baal Nefesh and someone who's not going to refrain from washing, etc., on a fast day, nevertheless, I did see brought down that a fast day perhaps is not the correct day to be listening to music, which, again, the whole discussion on music is a modern day discussion. Because essentially, min hadin, from the halachas of Zeichel Churban, we have a whole set of halachas of how we act and things that we do post in the post-Churban era. And one of the things is not to listen to music. One of the, we break a glass under the chuppah, and the chassan puts ash on his head, and many other things that we do that are Zeichel Churban. And one of them is not to listen to music. I bet everybody listens to music. So there's all sorts of discussions, heterium, explanation. But Moshe Feinstein in Chuvus is actually quite machmir on the whole idea. And I said the minika olam is to be mekel, and a lot of this has to do with the fact that if we would ban music totally, especially in a day, an age where music is so freely available, so easy to get hold of. In olden days, music usually meant that you actually had to take an instrument and play, or get someone else to play for you. And without that, there was no availability. There's no a restriction on singing. A person can sing and hum and whistle as much as you like, but the actual playing of music, that was the restriction. So there, you see, you can understand this. I can go to a concert, something which is rare and much more exciting, and a different level of music. Playing music on a MP3 player, a stereo system, tape recorder, for those who remember, those are all a much more available source and easier to get hold of and less. Brings about less simcha than it does live music, and based on the fact that we're a weak generation, the modern day contemporary person generally say that we make or are not going to enforce a strictness on listening to music. However, when it comes to those times where there's a velus involved or there's something like that, so then they reenact it. So it's not that we see in halacha it says do not listen to music, but rather we see that in halacha it says you're at now at a time of avedus, a time of introspection, time of tshuva, so therefore it's not appropriate to be maker on this. The whole idea of listening to music is a kula, so we put the kula away during that period. So that's why what has become a common accepted practice is that during the sphere time or during the 3 weeks, one doesn't listen to music. And it says it's not written black and white also to listen to music. And then there's no getter about Dr. voice music or instrument music and cappella music and all the rest. It's music as such should be out. We give a cooler, and that cooler we take away during this period. There is a Chavos Yare that I found in his Sefer Mekor Chaim. He was one of the Achraim from the 17th century, where he writes that one should avoid music during, I think it's on the 3 weeks. He uses a lot of Bein B'Puma, Bein B'Mona, whether it's music by mouth or music by kli, one should avoid it during the 3 weeks. I did see one of the earlier Achraim actually talk about it before the days of digital recordings and all the rest, that one should avoid, and he uses the lashon of even vocal, without getting into that whole discussion of people who listen to a cappella music during the 3 weeks of the Sfira time, that has become the trend today. Personally, I think it goes against the spirit of the whole idea that, as I said, music is something that we should avoid totally, with mekel the whole year round. And during these periods is when we return the halacha to the way it should be. And that, in my opinion, should include all forms of being not distinguished. However, my opinion I keep for myself. I've just mentioned it here. Everybody can take their own decision and ask their own rabbi or how they will want to behave. What's it got to do with what we're saying is that I saw brought down that it's correct and fitting to avoid listening to music on a fast. Okay, that was point number one that I want to bring up about the fast, to explain what it is and the fullness of washing. Now, the other point is to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, we've learned that Shabbos is a mitzvah to eat. There's a mitzvah to eat the te'ovan, that you should have appetite when you eat your food, and therefore one should avoid partaking of large meals on Erev Shabbos so that you don't ruin your appetite for what you're doing at night. There's actually brought down that Hasidim v'Anshei Maaser would fast on Erev Shabbos if they felt that eating on Friday would affect their te'ovan at night. However, the halacha restricts this to Hasidim v'Anshei Maaser, people who are of a very high level, and know that if they eat something during the day, it's going to affect their ability to eat the te'ovan on Friday night. So we tell them, fine, for you to fast. For the general population, me included, to fast on a Friday is detrimental. It's a negative effect on Shabbos, because you come to Shabbos in a bad mood, hungry, and you sit down to eat, you're not thinking about Shabbos, you're thinking about your stomach. You're not eating the te'ovan to cover Shabbos, you're eating the te'ovan because you're starving in a bad mood. So there, use Yotzei Schar Be'ev Seder, you fasted and you got nothing out of it. You didn't get any schar for doing like that because you're not eating the Chol Shabbos. Therefore, it is not only recommended, it's discouraged from fasting on a Friday unless someone knows their teva, that this is not going to be their situation. Generally speaking, fasting on a Friday is discouraged. There's also the idea that coming into Shabbos from a fast, directly moving from a fast into Shabbos, is also considered something negative, because you come in afflicted, you come in on a down and not on an up. Shabbos is a time of simple, Shabbos is a time of something positive. You're coming in on a negative, and therefore it's discussed in halacha that if a person fasts on Friday, should he complete the fast till the end of the day, meaning until stars out, or should he break the fast after Maariv, for those that have Maariv early, so that will come up. He's breaking the fast already before the stars have come out. It's discussed in Hilchos Shabbos, and the Ramah seems to come to the conclusion that we're going to make a distinction between a person that took upon himself to do a private fast or a person who is keeping a public fast, meaning someone who, for whatever reason, decides to take on privately to do a fast, him and himself alone. So at the mincha tefillah that he davens prior to the day that he wants to fast, at the end of Shemona Esrei, he takes on a kabbalah that tomorrow he's going to be fasting. He should take it on, make it tznai that he's only going to be fasting until after Maariv, and then he davens Maariv whenever time it is, even early Maariv, and afterwards he can go and eat. If it is a Friday, that's the correct thing to do, so that when Shabbos actually comes in, even though he's done a Maariv already, and Shabbos essentially has arrived, but when it comes to Tzedek HaChavim, he isn't really fasting when Shabbos comes in, because he's already broken his fast. But if he's keeping a public fast, then he should keep it all the way to the night. Now, it's an interesting compromise, because the Rishonim, when they discuss it, say, you know, those who say you can make a Tznai on your Kabbalah you can make a tnai before a fast and say that I'm only keeping till after Maariv, and that applies to public and private. And there's another bunch of Rishonim hold, no, you cannot do it in all fasts, you have to finish till Tzedekah Chodim, otherwise not considered a fast. And they don't seem to make a distinction between private and public. It's either there's an opinion that say you have to finish, and there's an opinion that say you have to go early. The Ramah goes halfway. He takes, when it comes to this, he takes these ones. When it comes to that, he takes these ones. So it's a compromise that the Ramah is making, the discussion, why does he do it? We won't get to that now, but the bottom line is that a Asara B'Tavis is a public fast. It's a fast that has been set in advance. It's not like the Rabbanim called on us to do a fast. If the Rabbanim enact a fasting and decide that the Tzibur needs to fast over some sorrow that we're going through, then it is brought down the halacha. They should not set the fast to be on a Friday. But when it falls on a Friday, it was not a question that they chose that day. It is that way because the 10th of Tavis is on a Friday. So then the halacha is, we're going to go with the Ramah. The Machab is also like that. And one needs to fast all the way to the end of the fast. And one cannot break it early after Maariv. Because there is an opinion that one can, and therefore, in case of need, someone who feels weak and feels that they cannot fast the whole day, this would be an Eitzah, is that on Thursday afternoon, when you finish eating on Thursday, because we know the halacha is that the night before Tanis, the last meal that you eat, after that, the fast essentially has started. If you go to sleep, wake up early in the morning, you may not eat because you've gone to sleep with the idea that you finished eating for the day. If before you went to sleep you said, I'm not makabel on myself for fast and I still want to eat before daybreak, so you can make a tnai that this idea of going to sleep now is not my kabbalah's tanis, and you can get up and have something to eat before daybreak, which is actually quite possible at the moment because daybreak is fairly late. Based on that, so too, when you make this condition, I want to eat this morning, same way, doesn't have to be the same thing, the same way you would make a condition that when I start the fast for Asara B'Tavis, I'm only keeping it on the idea that I can break the fast when Maariv is over and I don't have to wait till Tzetzit Tachavim. So in case of need, one may do that.
Do we know when daybreak is, Friday morning?
I didn't check it up. I can look now. It's about 5:20 something, 5:23, 5:21, something like that. There's two zmanim in the calendar for Alois HaShachar, about four felses, and one goes with the second zman based on Nish. It's something like 5:20-ish. 5:18 according to the online, 5:18 according to myzmanim.com, which is quite reliable. Well, if need be, as I said, la halacha, the Ramah says that you should fast, that the mashlim, the fast, you fast all the way to the end, and not to end it early after Maariv, but someone who needs it, so you should make a tnai then before the fast, that cannot fast all the way, and therefore is taking on the fast, going with the shita, so that you can break the fast after Maariv, you would daven Maariv early, and afterwards, even before Shkia, a person could then eat and break his fast. Now, interesting, I saw Rabbi Karp brings down that the minhag, he doesn't bring a source for the minhag, but the minhag is that we daven Maariv a little earlier than usual so that the men can get home, whoever goes to shul can get home in time to break the fast at Tzetzit Tachavim. A number of years back I mentioned to Rabbi Kornfeld, and he was maybe a little bit earlier. The fast, the luach gives a couple of zmanim of when the fast ends. You look somewhere else, you find a couple of other zmanim. I think we could say the most common time that they're going to take for the end of the fast will be at 5:10. Now, generally speaking, on this coming Friday, Shkia is about 4:41, 4:42, later than that, we might even get as late as 4:44, I don't remember. Which means that the way it is done in most shuls here in our Kehillah, is that at about Maariv, they daven about half an hour after Shkia. So if Shkia is, say, 4:44, so at about 5:15-ish, all depends on whether the rabbi who's speaking has finished his rosha a little early or late, but 5:15-ish. Some shuls aim for 35 minutes, some aim for 30 minutes, but that's the common. Then we'll start Maariv, and Maariv takes about 20 minutes. I mean, they'll be finished, if you start at 5:15, they'll be finished at 5:35. Some of us live 2 minutes away from shul. Some of us live 7 minutes away from shul. More than that is considered strange. The person should get the shul so far away. So we're going to get home at about 5:40. We still sing Shalom Aleichem, Mesh Yisrael, get your kids. You're not going to sit wash before 5:50. It gets to be 5, 6 o'clock. It gets quite a bit later, but the official time that the fast ends, let's say, is 5:10. So you're fasting an extra 50 minutes. So Rabbi Karp says the way to do it is to daven a little earlier. I mean, instead of davening half an hour after Shkia, you daven 10 minutes after Shkia, 15 minutes after Shkia. So you're starting Maariv even before the fast is over. And so you won't be home by 5:10, but you'll be home by 5:30. I saw Rabbi Karp brings it down that way. What's interesting is I looked in many, many other places, and I didn't find anybody else who brings that. And I see that the general minhag is that it just means that if your rabbi usually talks overtime, this time he's not. He's going to finish on time, finish 3 minutes early. And because we're fasting, so therefore it's correct to not spend time singing Shalom Aleichem and Eshes Chayom, baking the kids and all the rest and talking about the latest news. But when you come home, you go straight to Kiddush, start your meal, and you can sing Shalom Aleichem afterwards. You don't have to sing Shalom Aleichem for the meal. It can be done after you start the meal, and that's what I would say. So the common is that most shuls will be done in Maariv pretty much close to the regular time, maybe a couple of minutes earlier.